At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Prague Watch. Tonight, you join us in the far meadow, where the atmosphere is very peaceful and tranquil. Various fish are swimming lazily. And in the distance, formal horses are quietly grazing. Suddenly, the peace is shattered by the arrival of a stampeding herd of Gabriels. And what seems to be a rather oversized tiger moth.
Hello, you fellows! It's Pete Jones from Tiger Moth Tales here. You're listening to Prog Watch with Anthony Rosick. Chocks away!
Thank you. matters. Everybody needs to get their fix. Everybody needs a constitution.
Deal with delusions of political domination. Deal with attack that's full of character assassination. Selling us out without a doubt. It's what you're
And that opener was a song called You're Fooling Yourself by Third Degree from their album The Long Division in 2012. Now I'm going to move things along because I don't have a lot of time for talk this week because I have a lot of great stuff lined up. I've got a Third Degree feature including an interview with bassist and sometimes keyboardist Robert James Pashman. And I've got some music from the new Frost album and from Lee Abraham a little bit later. But first, I'm going to get things rolling here, oh faithful listener. If you recall, a few weeks back, I played Kinetic Element on the Rozfest special. And after that, I was contacted by Michelle Schrotz, who was the guest vocalist on the song that I played. Well, it seems that Michelle has a band of her own called Brave, and she wondered if it might be something I would play on the show. I gave it a listen, and indeed it was something I would play. So here it is. The name of the song, Surrounds Me. And the band name again is Brave.
It wasn't all
Once again, that was Michelle Schrotz with her band Brave. If you're interested in checking out more of their work, they have a website, Brave Music, that's BraveMusic.com. Right now, I'd like to get into the Robert James Pashman interview. So you guys are from the New York City area, and you've been kicking around since the early 90s. Yep. Do you want to give us a little brief history of the band?
Yeah, basically right, like the week after Christmas 1990, I was looking for a drummer. I was playing with this guitarist, sort of an interim guitarist who was in the band for like 6 months or so. And I found Rob Dorham, who was now back in the band. He left the band in 08 after we had the comeback album upon our breakup. But that's getting ahead of the story, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, but no, it, late 90, I got the drummer. Basically, by the summer of 91, we were with Pat, who's currently in the band. We were playing our first show by November of 91. We came out with an album in 93. In 95, we got a vocalist who played bass and keyboards. So he would sing lead vocals, and I would sing backing vocals, and I would play keyboards on songs that were more difficult to play on keyboards while he played bass because he was doing the lead vocal. So he would, whatever we deemed sort of the easier thing to play of the two, he would do since he was handling the lead vocals. These days, he's more of a key. He pretty much sticks to keys, and I stick to bass with a little bit of keys on the side.
Oh, okay.
And then we broke up in early 97, reformed, funny, like week after Christmas again in 05. We got back together and said, let's write and record again. And much of 06 and 07 were spent doing that. And summer of 08, we were at Nearfest with our merch table selling our comeback album and
Narrowcaster.
Trying to get people back into us. Basically starting from scratch. The whole 90s tenure really did not leave us with a lot of fans. And I mean, email came about after that. And by the time we broke up, we had a little mailing list of physical addresses. And I mean, we were basically starting from scratch.
Do you think maybe Prague was really not gaining the traction it is now in America here? Did that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, there were the bands in the 90s that were kind of holding up the fire in the US. You know, like Discipline, Echolins, Spock's Beard, all that.
Right. Stuff. But it seems like it's bigger now than it was then.
Yeah, there's definitely more bands jockeying for position, trying to, you know, get into various festivals and stuff. I mean, it's a lot of bands trying to get in the very small spaces, and there's only so much people can hear in a given year. And my hat's off to guys like you and the people who do the reviews who try to stay on top of it. I mean, I'm on top of it to the extent that if I see a new name and they're making inroads and, you know, getting good reviews and stuff, especially if they're in the New York area, you know, I'll probably run into them. I'll befriend them and, you know, maybe we'll try playing together. Whenever we play live, we always try to play with other prog bands if we have control over the set, over the night we're putting together. Because sometimes I'll just call a promoter in New York City especially and say, listen, I got a prog night for you, and us and three other bands. You know, and they're like, great. You know, they don't want to do the footwork of trying to put together theme nights.
Right.
So if I just come to them with a bunch of bands, they'll put us on. And that's what we did last fall for the first show of this latest tour we were doing. We played a tiny place in New York, and that's it. And in 2 days, we're playing another smallish place in New York, but with some really well-known prog bands. And it's yet another sort of mini festival, if you will.
Cool. Very cool. So, yeah, you got back together, did Narrowcaster.
Right.
Then things rolled on. The Long Division and then Ones and Zeros, Volume 1 from 2015. And I think I can see a great progression there. I mean, I really enjoy these albums.
Are you catching up now, or you've known us for a while?
The last couple years, I guess you've been on my radar, you know. And I was just re-listening to this stuff again over the last few nights since I knew we had this set up. And boy, it's really good stuff. I particularly like a lot of the subject matter, you know, media, politics, government, technology, ethics. Do you guys set out with a broad concept in mind when you start writing your stuff? And
well, that, that the all the things you just said are obviously making reference to the 2012 album, The Long Division.
Narrowcaster and ones and, well, like I said, technology and all that kind of stuff, and ethics comes into ones and zeros, you know, definitely, with its whole storyline, you know. But yeah, go ahead, elaborate, please.
I don't think Narrowcaster might be a slightly thematic album, but I'm not sure there's an overall theme. With The Long Division, I would say about half of it kind of fits into musings on politics and whatnot, without sort of taking a side, but kind of marveling at it all. Especially the two we play all the time in our set, You're Fooling Yourselves, which was our take on, you know, us against them, blue versus red, and just the whole yin and yang of politics, the back and forth, the pendulum that everybody, you know, this is our, you know, taking our country back, and all the stupid sayings, and kind of pit one group of Americans against another. That was what we were trying to say there. And Petri dish we play a lot. That's
The socioeconomic Petri dish.
Yep.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a, you know, that one's just sort of a retelling of the 08 meltdown and everything, in a way. It's sort of a history lesson in a way, I guess. It doesn't make a humongous statement, but I guess it does. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't write the lyrics.
I wanted to ask, does George do George Dobbs? Is he the main lyricist at this point, or do other people contribute?
We really all get a shot at it. You know, some of us name a song after somebody's written a lot of it. Some of us start off a song and another one will finish it. It's like nobody, you know, has to. It's you know, some of us get busy at certain times of the year and we're feeling less creative, and some other people just take the ball and run with it. Sometimes a song will just kind of wait until you're ready to get back to it. A lot of our songs start a different way. I'd say some of the best songs we've written lyrically, I have fond recollections of two songs that were written where George and I just sort of got together and just sat in my living room and just sort of really just went over every ounce of a lyric. And I think it's because we knew we were writing about something we really wanted to nail. And the one is You're Fooling Yourselves, which I described the earlier. Mm-hmm. That's one we worked on getting right. And then on a previous album, Cautionary Tale, where we talked about terrorism, extremism, without sort of making it about any particular religion. It could kind of point at almost any kind of extremism.
Right.
So it's, you know, so you have something that's more universal, you know. And that song makes, you know, a quick allusion to 9/11, but it's, you know, it's just one of many things in it. And that song, you know, coming back and writing that in, like, I guess 07, you know, there were quite a few things that happened since we broke up that we, you know, touch on in that album. And that's obviously a big one. George writes a lot of stuff. I write, Pat writes, Eric writes. So at least so far, our drummers have not contributed much lyrically, musically and arrangement wise. Sure. Definitely. And Brian's the new guy. And, you know, if he comes to the band with a song and we all like it, we're all kind of painfully, we won't hold back letting someone know, this song's working, this song's not working. So a song like, on the new album, Life at Any Cost, Eric came to basically work with George since they live near each other, and he, you know, it's just easy for them to work together. And I think they got together quite a few times, and, you know, the song definitely went from a more simple way of going that Eric started. And then George has a very good facility with jazz chords and stuff, and he throws in a lot of twists, and that song really, you know, went somewhere different. You know, so that's one collaboration where Eric got in. Eric collaborated with Pat a few years earlier, and they got together the song More Life. And then George sort of took More Life and made Life, which is earlier in the album. Changed the key, changed the melody around a little bit, made it work as sort of a tease for the end of the album. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's all different ways to get a song to happen. But if something's not working, you know, we'll let each other know. You know, this is definitely not going to work, or this is not working now. But if you work on it further, maybe we'll get somewhere with it. You know, there's sometimes just straight out vetoing. Even I've had a song or two in the last few years that have been pretty much thumbs down from everybody. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it ends up on solo albums or whatever.
But I guess you guys have been around a while, so, you know, you're all big boys now and you can take it. But yeah, that kind of stuff would probably break up younger bands.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
I've been in a few in my day. I know how they work. It's like being married to four or five other people at times.
Oh, it is. I mean, definitely.
And I figured we'd take a break here and play a song. So, from their album The Long Division in 2012, once again, this is Third Degree in the name of the song, one of my favorites, The Socioeconomic Petri Dish. We'll be right back.
Once again, that was The Socioeconomic Petri Dish by Third Degree from their album The Long Division, released in 2012.
You're listening to the station with the best mix of music. Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
I'll play a little more of that interview.
You touched on before about your role as keyboardist and bassist. Are you mainly on the bass now? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I play all the bass on the album. Eric's a pretty good bassist. Once in a while, live, he has played bass.
That's what I wanted to ask. Do you ever play, when you do it live, because I saw on some of the earlier albums, you were pretty much credited as the main keyboard player.
Yes, because when we did the first album, it was like basically the Rush lineup. I was keyboardist, bassist, lead singer, and we actually had a sequencer that my drummer would put on headphones, and we would play on some songs that had bass.
Mm-hmm.
I would, and the keyboards would be sequenced. There are other songs where there's a part where bass comes in and a part where synth bass is in. So if there's synth bass, I go over with my right hand and I'm playing keyboards. We get to another part of the song, I go back to bass, and we're back on the sequence. It's just, there were all different ways to go about it.
Right.
But second album, most of the music was done by the time George sang it, and he had a hand in one or two songs lyrically, sort of fixing up things and improving. So, yeah, the influence of George, even though he was on a second album, you don't really hear a lot of George's writing and a lot of the Georgisms that are familiar in the last three albums.
The jazz stuff, especially, like you said, I noticed a lot of that. There's a lot of really neat harmonies going on in the vocals and even mm-hmm. just some of the chord changes and stuff. That it helps keep it really interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's different. If you listen to our second album, the first album, even though it's a 93, it just sounds really, a lot of the keyboard patches and stuff, it's very late 80s sounding, kind of poppy, Tears of Fears meets Prague. Our second album is definitely, it's 96, so it's, there's a lot of influence of King's X and Soundgarden. There's a lot of grunge, it's very more guitar than keyboards shine through on that album. But then you got George's soulful vocals on top of it, but you don't have a lot of those, the writing that he did. So by the time we reformed, Narrowcaster's an interesting album. It comes out in 08, but I'd say 60% of it was written in 96, 97. We actually took a lot of, literally cutting room floor type stuff that we always dug playing and came up with new names, new lyric sheets for a lot of the songs. And a few songs were completely fresh upon that album. So you have fresh writing in the mid-2000s mixed with stuff from the mid-90s. So it's kind of a weird animal, Narrowcaster. But if I'm being true to myself, there's stuff on Ones and Zeros that dates back to the writing sessions for the Long Division and earlier even, and there's stuff on Long Division that goes back as well. So like with Long Division, that's almost all fresh leading up to 2012, but the song A Work of Art was just a song that didn't fit. It didn't work on Narrowcaster, and that one dated back to like 96. So, and that's a song where Eric was playing bass when we would play it live, and I would do the keyboard since I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I'm the main keyboards is George in the last bunch of years that we played.
Okay. So, yeah, you guys recently played the 2016 Rozfest.
Yep.
And you have some more dates lined up. What was it like playing at Rozfest, and what does the future hold for the band?
Rozfest, we're really excited. It was a little difficult venue because it was the after party. We knew that going in. We heard some, borderline horror stories about just sort of how it goes, because everybody's sort of having a good time, and it might be the atmosphere that's more apt for a cover band or a jam or like an open mic to happen, or because everybody's drinking in the back and in the front, they're sitting at tables, they're intently listening, and we had that combination that night, where we but the problem is it starts so late, so the people who are there and really digging it, it's getting late for a lot of them, and it's just
the aging progsters like me and you, I guess, too. Huh?
we're considered a young band, and we're in our 40s, the whole band. So,
yeah,
it's something.
Yeah. But it sounds like it was like a typical night at some clubs you might play, some people up front who are paying attention, some people in the back who are just getting drunk.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it was a banquet hall. So, so that went well. And coming up in just 2 days, I don't know when this is going to air, but on the 19th of May, we play our final show of the year and probably final show for a good year.
Is that
and
right?
Change. Well, because we basically are playing this show and the two shows we did before Rozfest because of Rozfest. But for us getting asked to play Rozfest, we would have played our last show on November 1st, and we would be well along with our sixth album, which is Ones and Zeros, the sequel.
It's going to be Volume 2?
Volume 0.
Volume 1 and Volume 0. All right.
Like, oh, duh.
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, and we've been debating over Volume 2 or Volume 1, but I mean, 2 or 0, but yeah, 0 makes sense. Because then it might be that you can listen to the album in any kind of order you want. There's feels like a beginning, middle, and an end on 1. I think 0 is going to have moments that if you put the two albums together, kind of like the last Big Train album.
Yeah, where they did the full power.
The full power. You saw it went out of order quite strikingly, and then they threw in these new songs as well.
And it really worked.
Yeah, and
on a new level. Yeah,
because I kind of came late to the party on that. So I don't think we're going to do that. We're actually running out of the first CDs that we made of Volume 1. So we got to think about what are we going to do when we come out with 0. You know, as new people come to it, they're going to want both 1 and 0 because they didn't
get right.
1. So it's going to be tough to know how many to order for this next one and if we want to reorder the first album because we're almost gone. It's almost out of print. I mean, obviously, it lives forever in digital.
Yeah.
But some people still want their CDs, so.
Yeah.
I think I answered your question.
Yeah. I really liked 1s and 0s, but it did kind of just leave you hanging, you know? it says Volume 1, so, you know, that was okay. But I think it's brilliant work. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, and I almost look at that album from the outside in a way, because I made sure to put my name third on the producer list, because Pat and George were the real drivers of the concept, and Eric kind of got the concept too and wrote his song. I did contribute one fresh new song to Ones and Zeros, The Best and Brightest. And that's sort of like not that the whole album's about living forever and all that, but you hear a lot of that sort of digitizing of the soul into a computer.
Yeah.
That sort of happens over the course of the album. My particular song was sort of tangential to that. It was about the Ultra AI, which many believe the US and China are kind of working on. This sort of basically the Terminator from 30 years ago.
Right.
Basically that kind of thing, just like a robot that's totally sentient and, you know, sort of the robot version of a nuclear missile, you know. Just, I don't know. I mean,
decides that mankind is the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you've been listening to the album, but it's kind of a strange line. But if you know what the song's about, it makes sense. Let's just hope he's nice. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It repeats twice. And, I think, and, it's kind of a weird, simple way of sort of, talking about this ultra AI that, better be nice. Right.
Right. Right. We'll end up with Skynet.
Yes. Exactly.
I do Arnold Schwarzenegger pretty well, actually. Come on in here. Listen to it.
I do the struggling Schwarzenegger that doesn't say anything. He's just like holding on to something.
Yeah. When his eyes are bulging out on Mars or whatever. And I figured this might be a good time to play another song. So from Third Degree's latest album, Ones and Zeros, Volume 1, released in 2015. This one is called This Is the Future.
Chances of contentment would be determined by a transistor. Sometimes it brings about resentment. Still I'm plugged in all the way, 'cause every gadget's an extension of my motives and my ego. And now that I am totally
Biotech Lifestyle Management Suite. Sadly, your account could not be verified due to an anomaly in your registered genetic capacity. We regret to inform you that the following lifestyle appliances will be disabled for 24 hours. Phone, watch, glasses, transit passes, and all biometric garments. Please try again tomorrow.
I never thought my chances of contentment would be determined by a transistor. Sometimes it's painful that it isn't meant. Still, I'm bugging out the way. Cause every gadget's an extension of my motives and my ego. And now that I have totally invested, I'd be a fool to not upgrade. Could this be the future?
Once again, that was This Is the Future by Third Degree from their latest album, Ones and Zeros, Volume 1.
Welcome back to the magical musical world of EpiFest. EpiFest 5 takes place on Saturday, July 16th, 2016, at the Lansdowne Hall in Stroud. And we continue to highlight excellent and eclectic live music. Stirs the emotions, gets your pulse racing, and titillates the intellect. We go all over the musical map, from prog rock to psychedelia, from jazz to folk, from ambient to sea shanties, and pretty much everything else in between. Featuring Marvin B. Naylor.
It's a sunny day, why not come and play?
Tom Slatter.
We're now the world, but is this the world that we want now for? How it's changed.
Dark Room, featuring Elif Yalvak. Circus Bialis International Quartet. Judy Dybel and her band of Perfect Strangers.
In the cold grey light of a winter's dawn, when the ice grows on the...
And our headliners, William D. Drake and his band.
Our worthy forefathers, let's give them a cheer.
To Tickets are just £25 on the door, £22 in advance, plus there are a range of special advance ticket packages available. To buy tickets, or just to find out more information about the festival, go to allthews.epifest.co.uk. And remember, Epifest reaches the parts that other musical events cannot reach. So don't miss out.
Now I'll continue with the interview. So, Rozfest, did you meet any cool people there?
Oh, we always do.
Name drop? You want to do any name dropping?
Well, what? I mean, name dropping of... Oh, you mean cool people as in like yeah. other bands?
Yeah, stuff. Right.
Not a lot of that.
No?
Just, we were sort of hung with our people who were into us. You know, there's a good amount of them at Rozfest that we see every year. And that's probably the best thing about
the playing. Third to groupies.
Yeah. That's probably the best thing about this. That's actually pretty good. That was the best thing about this gig because we got to play. I keep on thinking about my friend from Las Vegas who moved and used to see us all the time. He goes to Rozfest every year. So us playing there was a bit away for him to see us. There's Steve Swain who has a radio show who also, he's in Idaho. So, you know, what tours go through Idaho? So, you know, it was good for him to, he finally got to see us after being, you know, championing us for quite a few albums now. So, people like that was a really good thing about playing there. Name dropping to do, but we've gone in 09. I went in 09. I think George handled one day of merch. We get a vending table there, and we just, especially that year, we were just like, you know, our album was out, Narrowcaster, and we were just like, hey, ever hear of us? And in latter years, we've made like 3-song samplers and have, you know, sold them for a dollar or just given them out just to get people into us. And one guy came back this year. He said, oh, my God, I'm so glad you guys were all over me giving me your sampler because I just bought every one of your albums like 2 months ago. So
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, keep on multiplying that. But yeah, we want to know, basically whenever we have a new album out, we got vending tables at Nearfest and Rozfest. And did we do another one? 3RP, we were there 1 year. The one was in Pittsburgh, which okay. is where you are, right?
Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So do you remember 3RP?
No, it wasn't 3RP, that.
It was 2 years in a row, 08 and 09.
Yeah, I wasn't too big into it like I am now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I always liked Yes and all that kind of stuff growing up, but right. I really started discovering in the early 2000s, maybe, that there was stuff like that, that, you know, was carrying the torch. A lot of stuff that I didn't even know about. And it's, you know, I just went on a frenzy of discovering all kinds of great stuff. And eventually here I am doing this, for about 3 years now. But, yeah, I didn't really get, well, I'm kind of a homebody, you know, I stick to the Sasquatch den quite a bit. I'm old now, you know.
Rock guys, you know, they like their albums, and you know, they're not out of the festival so much. So there's you know, there's more people than could be perceived from the hundreds that show up at the festivals and whatnot.
Yeah, I got to get to Roz. I have to. It's practically in my backyard. I mean, yeah. So yeah. Maybe next year. Couldn't do it this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just go one day, it's you know, it depends on who you like and how many online friends. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, while we were playing, it's not so much that people are just in back partying and drinking. It's like people are like touching base with each other again. People who know each other digitally through Facebook, and
right?
Progears.org and Prague Archives. I mean, they are over, you know, I mean, it's, that's another thing. I mean, people just love hanging with each other. You hear, you see a lot of that. I mean, some people, if you're friends and these other guys, you know, definitely don't want to see a particular band. I'll just go and eat and drink in Gettysburg for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that, you know, cause you can't make everybody happy with 10 bands. There's always going to be something that's slightly off for somebody, you
right.
know, something that's, you know, less avant-garde. So they're not interested, or it's more avant-garde to someone and they think it's too out there for them. Cause they like more traditional synth prog. So, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but I see your point. That's why I would want to go. It's not just to hear the bands, obviously, but to meet some of these people who I've made contacts with. In fact, yeah. Aaron Clift was kind of bugging me to go this year, you know.
Yeah, he was sitting right next to us.
Really? Yeah. I interviewed him earlier this year, and, you know, I've been playing some of his stuff. So, yeah, I'm a fan and been trying to be supportive in my own way, as I always, you know, like doing this kind of thing. And, yeah, he was like, are you going? Are you going? You know, and I was like, no, I can't make it, you know. And then there was another fellow, what's his name now? Marty Dorfman, yeah, who's over on House of Prague.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was asking me if I don't know, maybe he wanted to split a ride because we're both in Pittsburgh, you know.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I wasn't, you know, but yeah, it'd just be cool to go and meet some of these people, you know, in person and have a few beers.
Oh, beer is a pouring. The manager of Circulon, who's become a friend of mine lately, he made a beer, this ridiculously strong Belgian quad that was delicious. He had it in his bathtub at the hotel, and he was just bringing down glasses of it for everybody.
You'll never guess what I do for a day job.
what are we talking about?
I'm vice president of a small company that owns two stores in Pittsburgh for home brewing and winemaking. So I'm a beer judge, and you know, I've been judging beer contests around here for like 15 years now. And it's something I don't always talk about on the show, but yeah, I'm a beer aficionado here.
Did you see that we made a band beer?
No, I didn't see that.
A song from Narcastle is called Cautionary Tale.
Mm-hmm.
We called our beer Cautionary apostrophe small T ale with a capital A.
Yeah.
Cautionary ale. You know how the Belgians have that little
sure.
T. Yeah. A lot of beers are, it just means the, you know?
Yeah.
So we have a Cautionary Ale series of beers. We made a triple, in 2012. We sold it with a Belgian style glass, and we ran out of them in a very short order. And we were going to make a new one, maybe for the next album, do another sort of like a crowdfunding. We've done crowdfundings, like not just through PayPal, just from people trusting in us enough to deliver on the merchandise. We just do it, you know. We just tell people about it on Facebook and emails, and you know, they just go to our website and just buy it through PayPal, and we deliver whenever it's done. We haven't done like crowdfund or Kickstarter or any of that stuff. So we've been able to keep all the profits after PayPal's fees for all the things that we've done. And one of them was the beer and the glass.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Somebody brew?
Everybody in this band is big time into beer.
Does anyone in the band brew, or do you have it brewed by somebody else?
We had it brewed by one of our guitarists. Our drummer at the time brewed. Our guitarist in L.A., Pat, he just started brewing. He has gotten like head over heels into it. So
cool.
Yeah. So there's three brewers, formerly three. We just went back to our original drummer. But the drummer we had, Aaron, he's a home brewer as well. What's the company you have?
The name of our company is South Hills Brewing. We're in Pittsburgh. We also, well, that's the name of the one store. The other store is called Country Wines, but we have a pretty nice website. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Southhillsbrewing.com, all one word. Now I'm doing commercials.
Yeah. Well, you can cut this out if you want.
For the day job. Well, I don't care, you know, whatever, you know, it's what I do.
One of our biggest fans and one of our oldest friends, of mine, Pat, well, basically everybody in the band, but he's really Eric's friend, mostly, Dan Turdo. He is the East Coast rep for Stone.
Okay, yeah.
And he's always got something going on.
That's big time. That was hard to get around here for a long time.
Sure.
So he must be doing a better job because you can get it occasionally out here now. That's from what, San Diego, I think.
Yep, Escondido, yeah. I think, right? Just north.
Yeah.
I think.
And in that segment, you heard us talking about a beer that they brewed called the Cautionary Ale. Well, anyway, I'm going to play that song for you right here. This is from Narrowcaster in 2008. And again, it's Third Degree.
Our history can serve us well.
Yeah.
Once again, that was Cautionary Tale by Third Degree from their 2008 comeback album, Narrowcaster.
Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
Now I'll finish up with the interview. So, yeah, obviously your whole catalog is available on digital now and as physical CDs as well.
I don't think you can get our very first album on all of the digital sites like iTunes. Only from our second album on,
okay,
can you get us on every digital site. Our first album is available digitally exclusively at Bandcamp, thirddegree.bandcamp, and that's okay. Without two. That's only one D. We share our name with at least one rock band and two rappers.
Rap groups, yeah, I saw that when you go searching for stuff. You have to make sure you get the right stuff.
It's, yeah for sure. I mean, we got lucky to, we have facebook.com/thirddegree spelled correctly. What other ones do we have? No, I think Twitter, they beat us to Twitter. I think we're Third Degree Online at the end of Twitter. Our website is Third Degree Online as well. .com. So we had to add that to it.
There you go.
But yeah, Facebook's the most important one, and that, you know, we were able to get that one.
Yeah, I was playing this band from England called I Am the Manic Whale, who have a really interesting kind of fresh sound. They have no Facebook presence. It's like, those guys got to get on that, you know?
Oh my God, really? I mean, I've heard of them too.
I really enjoyed their album. It's very like fresh and a little different sounding, but very good in my opinion. And I played some of it on my last show. And, you know, when I'm trying to like provide links on my website, you know, they have a nice website and everything, but they have nothing on Facebook. I couldn't even tag them in the posts and let them know I was playing them, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. Are they American?
No, they're English.
Huh.
Yeah.
You need one guy who's got the time and one guy who's got the know-how, and hopefully it's the same person. You know, you need that one person who somehow has a job that affords them a little bit of downtime or whatever it is. There needs to be somebody in the band, or hopefully more than one, that is the person who does a lot of that kind of stuff, because it's a lot of tending of the garden to be done.
Yeah,
in my
social
band,
media.
You could guess it's me, because everybody's, you know, I'm not the lead singer, and that's the person people usually know the most. I'm just the dude who's like there, you know, who's the presence. I mean, I am the leader. We do rehearse at my house. You know, there's always, you know, that. But yeah, I mean, as much as our website screams out 2002, I am the webmaster.
That's not a bad site, you know?
No, I mean, there's a lot of information there. We try to keep it current, and it's a lot of information. It's a little cluttered, but it is what it is. I'm able to still update it with the software I'm knowledgeable of. And then, yeah, I tend to all the other sites and stuff. So,
yeah, so I think every band needs to have someone that's monitoring and working the social media angles a little bit, especially these days when it's so hard to get any sales, like, you know, with everything being ripped off left and right, and, you know, how hard it is, you know, and how hard it is to make any money. You got to go for everything you can. And I think social media is a big thing to help spread the word and sell some stuff.
I mean, you can go overboard for sure.
Well, yeah. You don't want to go. Yeah. It's the same with in our business. You know, we put out regular mailings, but if you're doing it every day, people are going to turn it off, you know?
Yeah. I mean, every mailing we do, there's a, you know, you always risk having an unsubscribe just because it doesn't. I mean, we try to get everybody's zip code so that when we send something out that says we're playing in New Hampshire, you know, somebody in Virginia doesn't even hear about it.
Right.
So it's a little difficult because, you know, when you get people's email addresses and something, it's usually at a concert and everything's crazy and loud. And, you know, you're like, zip code, can you write your zip code? You know, and some people have bad penmanship and you get the wrong email address, the wrong zip code.
Yeah, I enter our email addresses on, you know, for the company. And yeah, it's tough because, you know, when you're looking at an address on a street, you can like say, oh, is that Elmwood or Elmwork? Or, oh, it's got to be Elmwood, you know, but an email could be anything. You know,
they're so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. They could be just anything, any random collection of numbers and letters, you know, it could be.
Yeah, yeah, and then with the dresses, you could look at the town.
You can take a guess. Yeah.
You could look at a map. You could enter it into Google Maps. You'll find it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once again, that was Robert James Pashman of Third Degree, bassist and sometimes keyboard player. If you enjoyed what you heard of their music, you're going to want to go check them out. You heard Robert talking about some of the places where you can find the music online. They're on Bandcamp. They also have a proper website. But watch out. Don't forget, there are some rappers and a few other artists going by the Third Degree moniker, so make sure you get the Prog Band. And just to help you in your searches, they spell it with a numeral 3, then R-D-E-G-R-E-E. It's like all one word beginning with a 3, Third Degree. And I've got a few more things I want to play for you this week. First, I'm going to do a feature that we do on a regular basis here, the Prog Radar Recommendation and Bite-Size Review, in conjunction with Martin Hutchinson, who runs Prog Radar, the Facebook page, and progradar.org, the website over there in the UK. So anyway, this week Martin sends a track from the brand new, much anticipated album by the band Frost. Frost, of course, features Jem Godfrey, the brother of Simon Godfrey, on keyboards and vocals, John Mitchell on guitars and vocals, Nathan King on bass, and Craig Blundell on drums. So I'm going to play the song Tower Block, and then we'll give you Martin's bite-size review.
They're knocking down my tower block, the place where I grew up. When the walls start falling, I'm gonna be ready. My stately home, cold fingers written from underland. I grew up life on stone, in a bone of your toughened hand. Thank you.
Once again, that was Tower Block from the new album by Frost entitled Falling Satellites. So here's Martin's bite-sized review. So after an 8-year hiatus, Frost have returned with a triumphant third album that ticks all the relevant boxes for this tired old music hack. Speak for yourself, Martin. Continuing on here. Definitively Frost, and yet with a distinctive luster, and some rather inspired new sounds that give it even more depth. Instantly accessible, but also with untold layers of sophistication. Oh, bugger. This musical year just keeps getting better and better. That was, of course, from Martin Hutchinson. And if you haven't, you're going to want to check out his Facebook page, Prog Radar. Prog Radar Friends and Reviewers is another one that he runs. And also progradar.org, where his reviews are formally published. And finally, I've got a song from a musician and composer who has played with Galahad and Indigo Pilots and has had guests such as Martin Warford on his solo outings. It's Lee Abraham from his latest release, The Seasons Turn. And the name of this one is Live for Today.
All it was meant to be.
Once again, that was Live for Today by Lee Abraham from his new album, The Seasons Turn. And I must tell you that I am new to Lee's solo work, but the couple of albums that I have heard, including this one, have been quite good. A new artist to keep on my radar for sure, and I hope you'll keep him on yours. And as always, if you like the show, why don't you go and like our Facebook page, Prog-Watch, or follow me at ProgSquatch on Twitter. That's at ProgSquatch. In both cases, you'll be kept up with some of the latest prog news, and I do the Daily Classic on the Twitter side, which is a fun little feature that sometimes gets a little engagement going among all the folks that I'm friends with on Twitter. Also, if you have suggestions, comments, whatever, you can always email me, ProgSquatch, ProgSquatch, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And please don't forget to support the bands. In fact, if you go to the webpage, progwatch.com, that's all one word, progwatch.com, you can listen to the show there. And you can also find little show notes and links that I put in there so that if you're interested in the artist, you can immediately be transported to their pages to find out more about what they're about. So don't forget, that's a good resource for you out there. The website, progwatch.com, all one word, progwatch, no hyphen. And if you like an artist and you're over there checking out their webpage or whatever through my website, show them a little love, buy some of their music. That's what the show is all about. It's getting tough to make a buck in this industry these days, and there's a lot of really talented people out there making what I think is some of the greatest music on the face of the planet, and we need to support that. And I think that's about all we're going to have time for this week. Like I said, I jammed in a lot of interview, a lot of stuff from Third Degree, some cool stuff from Lee Abraham and Frost, and also by Michelle Schwartz's band, Brave. So until next week, O faithful listener, I will implore you to prog on, brothers and sisters.
Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.